Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Wow, what a great crowd tonight. Amen. Amen. To all you that drove down this afternoon, thank you. You blessed my heart with your presence. The fact that you decided to make this a priority encourages my very soul. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I want to begin reading in verse number 16, and then we're going to work all the way into chapter 5 to verse number 10. We do not, Paul writes to us, in the year 2019, in the world that we live in, we do not lose heart. This is the second time he said this. The chapter opens in chapter 4, verse 1 with, we do not lose heart. So we do not lose heart. We don't throw the towel in. We faint not. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. This light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond comparison. As we, born-again believers, followers of Jesus Christ, saints of God, as we look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient. They're transient. They're fleeting. They're temporary. But the things that we cannot see, those are in fact eternal. For we know that our tent, that is our earthly home, it's destroyed. It's being destroyed. It's falling apart. We, plural pronoun referring to born-again believers, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, and this building from God, this house, it's eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, our bodies, we're groaning, longing to be put on a heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed. So what is mortal may be, look at this analogy, swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So instead of losing heart in verse number 16, we are always of good courage. We're always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we, born-again believers, disciples of Jesus Christ, God's elect, for we walk by, what's it say, church? Faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage. We would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, look at this. Look, this is good. Whether we're home or away, we make it our aim to to please God. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Let's pray. God Almighty, come. Send your Holy Spirit to fall down on us, to bathe us in your power and in your glory and in your presence. God, we know that there are several men in our midst that need to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit. They need the Spirit to fall down upon them and grant to them the faith to believe the gospel. And there are other hearts that are struggling, and they need to feel and experience your presence. So I pray, God, that you would hear this petition, and that you, O Lord, in your mercy and in your grace, that you would grant it to us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Yesterday, when Steve Ron stepped up to begin, and I knew that he was going to Psalm 73, but I didn't know quite how he was going to go there. And when he, and I wrote it down in my notes right here, I could not believe it. I just fell out. Let me find the page where notes are. There it is. Yeah. And the first thing that Steve mentioned was falling away. First thing he mentioned was falling away. And Friday morning, I finally settled on this text. Friday morning, I settled on this text. And I could not believe that his first statement was falling away. And my first sentence is, we do not lose heart. In other words, we don't fall away. Now you're thinking, of course not. We're at the men's retreat. But I'm not talking about right now. Okay? That's not what my concern is. Because in my measly little 13 years of pastoring, I keep seeing them fall away. I mean, I just keep seeing it happen year after year. And I don't understand it. And it just wrecked my little world. I just need to tell you, I'm still not over Joey Kellett. Okay? I'm not done with that. I'm not fixed on that yet. I need some therapy from the Word of God to figure out what happened with that. Man, where's David at? Where's David sitting at? David, we sat and drank the Word of God with this guy. And he's nowhere near the gospel today. Like, what happened? And he's not alone. Steve Wilson, where are you sitting? Wave at me, please. Steve's been in this church for how many years? 30 years. How many people, Steve, if you could go back to 1989, how many people have you seen fall away? Yeah, lost track. I mean, we're like one of those soldiers who's got it in their smartphone, all the fallen guys. And you're like, where are they? And Paul is writing to us, and he's saying, we don't lose heart. We don't fall away. We don't throw the towel in. We don't quit. Well, why not, Paul? Why don't we? Do you have any reasons for us? Because we live in a fallen world, Paul. I mean, we see all kinds of stuff where God didn't answer that prayer, and that righteous person died early, and that unbeliever seems to be prospering quite well, and it just doesn't make sense sometimes, God. And if you're honest with me, and I'll be honest with you, my little heart was fed last night. I needed to hear Steve Ron preach to me from Psalm 73. Okay? Because I've been on the bubble. And you, preachers can be on the bubble. Yeah, they sure can. Preachers can be on the bubble because quite frankly, it really gets discouraging sometimes when you're pouring your heart and your mind and your soul and your life into humans and you feel like they're on board with the gospel and then suddenly like, where are you? I mean, it really bothers me that we have people in our congregation who claim to be born again and come to church four times a year. I'm not okay with that. And you begin to do all kinds of things in your mind, like maybe Berea needs a new preacher. Maybe there's a time for a transition. What's going on? Why can't we get this moving? Why aren't they growing? And Paul says to me, don't lose heart. He reaches down and he knows my situation. And he says, though your outer self is wasting away. And it is. And it is. I can't live what I used to live. I don't run like I used to run. I feel like I've never felt it before in my back and in my knees. And you're growing old. The body is falling apart. But Paul says, don't you worry about that outer body. Don't you worry about that. Focus on the inner self that's being renewed day by day. And I want to talk about that being renewed. Hold your place there in 1 Corinthians because we're going to stay in the text. We're just going to work right out of that text. But turn over to Romans chapter 12. And if you don't know this verse, if you're not familiar with this verse, make it your mission in life to get familiar with it. Make it your mission in life to get familiar with it. Romans 12, verse number 1 and 2. Paul says to us, I want you to see it in your own Bible. I want you to put a note next to it. I want you to write in your Bible. I want you to mark in your Bible. Romans chapter number 12. I, Paul, appeal to you, born again believer, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or spiritual worship. And then he says to us, don't you be conformed to this world. And that's why we need to spend less time on our smartphones and more time in the Word of God, because the smartphone has us being conformed to the world, and the Word of God has us being transformed. Look what the text says. Do not be conformed to this world, but instead be transformed. And then how am I supposed to be transformed? By the renewal of your mind. The only way that Sean Harris is not going to lose heart is if he will renew his mind from the Word of God. So on Thursday night, Steve gives us this amazing example of a man who goes to the sanctuary of God and gets his mind renewed. And then this morning, Dave McManus takes us through the importance of the Word of God. And then I get some consolation that the same Holy Spirit that's guiding Steve is the same Holy Spirit that's guiding David, and it's the same Holy Spirit that led me to pick this text on Friday morning. Do you know what Titus 3:5 says? Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy. And then what happens next in the verse? The Holy Spirit is the agent of two things in the verse. Number one, your regeneration. And number two, the renewal. The renewal. Same Greek word. So Paul tells me in 2 Corinthians that I need to get renewed day by day. Day by day. And Paul appeals to me in Romans 12:1 to be transformed by the renewal of my mind. And then Paul tells me in Titus 3:5 that it is God the Holy Spirit that does that. So what's my takeaway on this? I need to be in love with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. I need to get sensitive to God the Holy Spirit, and then I need to realize that God the Holy Spirit doesn't use Netflix. Doesn't use Netflix. That God the Holy Spirit uses the book He wrote. That the mechanism that God the Holy Spirit uses to renew my mind. Let's talk about this renewal. It's obviously to make new. It's to revive. In other words, I need to experience revival. Am I alone? Are there any other brothers in this room that would say, there are times, Pastor Sean, where my walk with the Lord needs some renewal. It needs some reviving. That it's not always cloud nine. That it's much more like a roller coaster. And even coming to the men's retreat is one giant, like, vitamin B shot into my spiritual life. Can anybody testify to the fact that the next month is going to be so much better for you spiritually? And oftentimes we are guilty of waning in our walk with the Lord. For all of us preachers, I look forward to going to Louisville, Kentucky for T4G. It's this incredible revival experience where preachers are preaching at me with the Word of God, and I am being renewed. I'm being renewed. And Paul says that I need to be renewed annually. No. No, he doesn't say annually. Annually is not enough. But yet we live our Christian life as though an annual renewal is sufficient. We live our Christian life with occasion I'll get into the house of God if it works with my schedule. But Paul tells me and tells us together that this renewal needs to be a daily experience, day by day. And I know our lives are crazy busy. We had a great discussion on the gazebo about how busy our lives are and how hard it is to make sure that we're renewing ourselves in the Word of God. And so this is how Satan operates. Huh. You made that pledge. I mean, you really said daily devotions. I mean, you committed yourself to that. And look, you haven't done it. You missed it. And it's 2 days in a row. You're not really serious about it. And before you know it, it's a week. Come on, let's be honest. Let's be honest. Let's be truthful. It's a struggle to be in the Word of God every single day. Our lives are insanely busy. We've got all these responsibilities. We're pursuing our job. We've got college requirements. We've got children. I mean, it's just a mess, Pastor Sean. You don't know my life. It's so busy. And of course it is. Yes, it is. So you and I together, us, we, me included, we have to seek for ways to get those vitamin B shots. Like sometimes for me, when I'm just struggling, and I struggle. And you don't think I do, but I do. So one of the means that I use to get this renewal sometimes is to pull up YouTube and find these amazing songs like, Is He Worthy? And I will be in my Tundra and I will find that YouTube video and I will turn it up as loud as I can and I will just sing it with all my heart. And I will go through 5 minutes of being renewed. Yes, He is worthy. He is worthy. I know you're busy. I know this idea of, okay, I got 30 minutes, I got my lexicon, I got my concordance, I got 3 commentaries, and I'm really, that's very difficult. I got it. But you can't tell me that you can't turn that crap off and turn something godly on. Young men in this room, what do you listen to? What do you listen to? What influences the way you think? Do you let godly songs fill your minds with truth? Did you see what we heard in this amazing song? It was unbelievable. It's literally a lesson in theology. Find it with me. Find it with you. There's page 30. Do you feel the world is broken? Yes. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Do you feel like sometimes God doesn't answer your prayers? Yes, I do. I have been begging God for 25 years for the spiritual revival of my own boy. I would tell you that there is no single prayer request that God has heard from my heart with more persistence than my own boy. Anybody relate? You just throw your hand up just a little bit, you know what I mean? Because I know it's I know we're in this room, and yeah, I know. And so these songs, They get this, the line of Judah who broke the and opened the grave, and it's just like it's just a spiritual feeding. And we need to be renewed over and over and over again. In verse number 17, for this, referring back to 2 Corinthians, hold your place there so it doesn't take you long to get there. We're going to go back and forth a lot. For this light, momentary affliction. Like, are you kidding me, Paul? You must not know my life. Like, you're not married to my wife. Because you wouldn't say light or momentary if you were married to my wife. Come on. Let's all be honest. Every one of us wonders on a given day. It's a struggle sometimes. You don't know my life, God. You don't know what I'm going through. Let's read about the guy who wrote this. Would you turn over to chapter 11? It shouldn't take but just a page. Let's see if he knows anything about the struggles. Because, you know, he told us about this light, momentary affliction. So just turn over to chapter 11. Now, look, if you want a lot of pages, you're in the wrong book, okay? Like, all right? We just turn a little bit. Beginning in verse number 23. All right, I'll give you a second to turn that page. Right in the middle of it, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, countless beatings, often near death. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Paul does know something about suffering that Sean Harris doesn't know in the year 2019 with his middle class cushy life. Is Hickory, North Carolina like that as well? Do you guys have some middle-class lives in Hickory, North Carolina? How about Warsaw? When was the last time you had a preacher in Warsaw be in prison for preaching the gospel? Five times I received, at the hands of Jews, 40 lashes less one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at the sea. He's not talking about a video game. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at the sea, danger from the false brothers, in toil, in hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold exposure, and apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of the anxiety of the church budget. Get it? And that man said that his affliction was light and momentary. Paul, how in the world could you describe your affliction as light and momentary? Because it doesn't sound light and momentary to me. How about to you? It doesn't sound light and momentary. And Paul said, I looked at my affliction through the lens of the reality of eternity. When I put the glasses on that showed me eternity, I suddenly realized it was in fact momentary. He's got this amazing dichotomy going on here, or the way he's working through the text. He had the outer and the inner. Now he's going to contrast the light with the heavy. Where's the word heavy? It's the word weight there. It's the word weight. The weight of glory. The heaviness of glory. He's saying that this life and its afflictions is like the weight of a cockroach And eternity is like the weight of Daniel Wardlow. All right, you get it?
That's the idea right there.
That's the comparison. That's a lot. It's a big guy. It's a big guy. He's picking the smallest insect that he can imagine. The fraction of weight, whatever the small, a gram? What's less than a gram? Is there like microgram? I don't know. You guys tell me. The smallest of the smallest. Remember, I'm trying to get you to understand what he's saying here. Because we can't wrap our brain around eternity. It's an impossibility. We are so finite in everything that we do, always measured by minutes, hours, days, that eternity is literally inconceivable for us. So Paul says that when you take the weight of glory and you drop it on the scale, the light affliction gets catapulted off of it. There's that giant disparity. And then he says, this is momentary. He's like, it's not momentary. It's 75 years. And Paul says to us, but when you measure 75 years against eternity, it is in fact momentary. It is in fact momentary. But the problem is, I'm not putting my eyes on heaven enough. The theme is the reality of eternity. The reality of eternity. He says the inner self is wasting away, is being renewed, the outer self is wasting away. He says this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory. Glory is the splendor. It's the beauty. It's the magnificence. It's every single word that you could imagine to describe the awesomeness of what God has prepared for those who love Him. Splendor, beauty, awesome. Pick whatever words you want. It's the magnificence of what God... So, when I'm tempted to lose heart and throw the towel in, I need to look at the eternal glory that God is preparing for those who love Him. I need to get my mind off of this earth, and I need to get my mind focused on the future and what God has for us. This is Paul's instructions to us. Verse number 18. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. So my life is consumed with what I see in front of me. I see a church budget. I see a marriage falling apart. I see a family that won't come to church. And on and on and on. I see it. It's in front of me all the time. I see prayers that aren't answered. I see folks that are struggling. I see minds that are falling apart. Sister Mary Battee is struggling right now beyond measure. She was wearing our family out 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning to the point where we had to turn our phones off because she was just ringing it off the hook. She didn't even realize she was doing it. Her outer self was wasting away. So we'd pray for her, and it wouldn't stop, and we'd pray again. And Pam and I would pray again, and we're like, God, do you not hear us praying? Anybody not had situations where God didn't hear your prayer, and just like, bam, I right away and delivered it, and bam, it worked? Or it's a struggle. It's a struggle. So what is it? What is he telling me? What is his instructions to me? Sean, focus on the things that you can't see. Don't let the things around you in this fallen world overwhelm you to the point where you lose heart. Recognize that those things, notice how he describes them, are transient. They're transient. Like, they're not transient. They're right there. I got to get my house fixed. I got to repair my car. They're right in front of me. Of course you do. But the moment you let those things begin to impact your spiritual renewal is the point where you need to take your eyes off of them and redirect your focus to what is eternal. What's eternal? And what's eternal is truth. What's eternal is truth. I got some truths that I wrote down, four of them, that I want to remind you of. And you can't see them, but you need to remind yourselves of them. Number one, there is a God who made me. Like, you don't need to write this down because it's like ridiculously simple. All right? Like, no kidding. No, I need to remind myself that there is a God who made me. That I am not an accident and I am not a Ziploc bag full of chemicals. I am an image bearer of God. I need to remind myself that this universe was created by God who made me. He chose my gender. He gave me a purpose in life. I'm known by Him. Number two, you don't need to write this down. It's ridiculously simple. I need to remind myself that God has spoken to us through His Word. I need to remind myself that this is not a book. It is the Bible. It is the Word of God. It is Scripture. David took us there. He took us there this morning. He reminded us of it. Number three, I need to remind myself that the God who made me and the God who spoke is holy. He's holy. And because He's holy and because He's just, He cannot ignore sin. Like, I'm not going to get a bye. I'm not going to get a pass. Like, He can't remain God and be just and be holy and ignore my sin. Now this creates a problem. Because I know I'm a sinner. I lose my temper. I covet. I have bad attitudes. I mean, I'm just a flat out sinner. No way around it. I like nice things. I like to acquire nice things. And I need to get a hold of this. You know what I need to do? I need to renew my mind day by day. And so I need to go to truth number four. So number one was there's a God who made me. And number two, that God speaks and has spoken first through the prophets and then through His Son and His apostles. And then truth number three is that God is holy and can't give me a bye no matter how cool I am or what He thinks of me. He's holy and just. And so number four is just, again, just crazy simple. It's God sent His Son to rescue humanity and to give to all who believe eternal life. The reality of eternity. The reality of eternity. If 1 John teaches me anything, Steve Wilson, where are you at again, please? It's that God sent His Son to give us eternal life. If 1 John teaches anything, if the five chapters of 1 John teach anything, it's that God loves us and sent His Son to give us eternal life. And I am well aware of the fact that there are some sitting here, who are not going to receive and have not already received eternal life. And I got to tell you, it's inconceivable to me. I mean, can you imagine young man who's sitting here that has not trusted Christ in a salvific way? Can you imagine being at the judgment seat of Christ, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And I don't know how God is going to do it, but can you imagine being taken back to this very day and this very moment in which this preacher is telling you, you need to trust Christ. And you chose not to trust Christ. And now you're going to be sentenced to eternal destiny of hell because you chose to continue pursuing material things. And don't you think for a moment that this entire crowd underneath this tent is saved. Don't you kid yourself into thinking that. I dare say that there's 20 men under the tent that aren't saved. That are not truly authentically born again. That have not been radically transformed by the power of the gospel. They are dabbling with God. They like the feeling of the men retreat. They like the feeling of this. They like the moral ideals. They like hanging out with the guys. They like playing basketball and football. I mean, let's be honest right now. We don't have all the men here right now that came to camp. Right now, I'm looking around and I can look for guys that aren't here right now. And I don't mean like not right here like they're back in Fable. I mean, they're not under this tent right now. When the preaching time, they scattered like the cockroaches when you flip the lights on. I'm looking around right now and I don't see them. Look, when God gets a hold of your heart, you want to hear the Word of God. You want to be renewed by the Holy Spirit. You want to hear the Word of God being preached to you. I was sitting on the edge of my seat being fed last night because my heart needed to hear from the Word of God. So we take the time to remind ourselves that these things that I cannot see, like I can't see God, and I didn't see when He made me, and I didn't see when He sent His Son, and I didn't see when He inspired the prophets. In fact, I really suddenly realized I'm going to have to live by faith. I'm just going to have to live by faith. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God. John 14:3. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that I and you may be at the same place. You almost get the impression that Paul believed what Jesus said. For we know that if this tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Would you turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3? More pages, yes, brother. In fact, I'd like to just start in chapter 1. Don't worry, that doesn't mean we're going to read the entire epistle. It is short. And it is marvelous. Right? And if you're wondering where should I start with my devotions on Monday morning, now that I've recommitted myself to devotions, this would be a wonderful place to start. For this very reason, Sean Harris, Bill Sturm, David McManus, Steve Ron, make every effort to add to your faith, to supplement your faith. In other words, God knows. Add some virtue, and with virtue, knowledge, and knowledge, self-control, and self-control, steadfastness, and steadfastness, godliness, and godliness, brotherly affection. And brotherly affection, that unconditional love. For if these qualities are yours and in fact are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful. I'm going to supplement that or insert parenthetically. They keep you from losing heart. They keep you from throwing in the towel. They keep you from quitting early. That's what Asaph was ready to do. Steve, he's ready to quit early. He's like, this gig with David's worship leader, this is not working out. He says, Forever lacks these qualities, is so nearsighted that he's blind. That's really problematic because blind people don't enter the kingdom of heaven. I'm not talking about physical blindness. I'm talking about spiritual blindness. He says to us, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if these qualities are in you, you won't lose heart. You won't fall. You won't quit. Do you see the tie I'm making? Is it a legitimate one? Preachers, am I stretching it? It's there. And then he says to me, read it with me in verse 11. This is good. Sean, if you'll go the distance, if you won't lose heart, if you'll keep working hard to add moral excellence and knowledge and self-control and steadfastness, and if you'll work hard at adding these qualities to your faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into what kingdom? What kingdom, guys? The eternal kingdom. The reality of eternity. Jesus Christ has a kingdom that is never going to end. Revelation 11:15, when the kingdom of this world becomes the kingdom of our Lord and His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever and ever. I want to be there with Him. Am I alone? Anybody else want to be there in that eternal kingdom? I want to be there. I want to make sure that an entrance is provided for me. You say, why do you need to make sure that an entrance is provided for you? Because I don't know the way. I don't know the way. I've never been there, Ryan. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what happens when I close my eyes in my final breath. I don't know where it's at. I don't know how I'm going to get there. I don't know if an angel is going to usher me. I don't know what's going to happen. I haven't seen it. I got to live by faith, Mike. I got to live by faith. Chapter 3. Verse 1. That was the preface for chapter 3. This is now the second letter that I'm writing to you, beloved. Beloved is Peter's way of describing the elect of God, those who he loves in Christ Jesus. These are born-again believers. They're not churchgoers. They're disciples of Jesus Christ. They have put their faith in Christ and Christ alone. He says, in both letters, this is what he's trying to do. This is what Steve tried to do. This is what David tried to do. This is what I'm trying to do. I am trying to stir up your sincere mind by way of reminder. Be honest this morning. Be honest last night. Steve Ron did not say anything to you that you'd never heard before. David, I'm not trying to break your heart, but there wasn't anything that you brought to this morning that was like earth-shatteringly different. You know what you were doing? You were reminding us of truths we already know to be true. And Bill, what we need is our heart stirred up. And the reason we need our heart stirred up is so that we do not lose heart. So that we faint not. Do you know why you come to church every week? So you don't lose heart. Do you know why you grab a midweek service anytime you can? Because you don't lose heart. Do you know why you turn on Christian radio? If it's good, I'm not talking about the political crap that's on there. Yes, I said it. I said it. I don't need to hear about the current politics. If you're going to talk to me about the Word of God, then I'll listen. If you're going to talk to me about Trump, I'm not interested today. I need my heart renewed. And the Holy Spirit does not renew it through Rush Limbaugh. Fox News is not the agent of renewal. I need the Word of God to renew my heart. You get it? I need the Bible. John and I both listen to National Public Radio. I'm not saying you shouldn't, But neither one of our hearts get renewed by listening to NPR. We might get a little information. We might get educated a bit. We might learn a little bit about more about the fallen world that we're living in. But when I need my heart renewed, I got to find the Word of God. I got to find it in song. I got to find it in preaching. I got to find it in audio. But I need to hear the Word of God. So Peter says, I'm writing to stir your mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through the apostles, knowing first of all that in the scoffers will come in the last days, and they will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers have fallen asleep, all things continue as they are from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens opened, that the heavens existed long ago, the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these the world then that existed was deluged with water and perished. By the way, do you know where he's going? He's going to the book of Genesis. Do you know where he's going? He's going to the first 12 chapters or 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. Oh, by the way, he's going to the most disputed part of the entire Bible. He takes us to the foundational book. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I told my senior Bible students that that was the single most important verse in the entire Bible. And for the next 40 minutes, they argue with me about the most important verse is the verse that talks about how God saved them. You talk about being self-centered. Let's be sure you understand that there would be no Savior if there was no God who sent that Savior. For God so loved the world that he sent. He gave. It starts with God. And that's where Peter goes. Peter takes us to creation, and then he takes us to the destruction. Let's keep reading. We're letting the Word of God renew our hearts. And that by these means the world then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and the earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly. I need to remind you that everything that you see is going to be destroyed. Everything. You guys will be able to relate to this. Many of you will be able to relate to this. When I was a first sergeant in Charlie Battery, 2nd 319th Airborne Field Artillery Regiment, for two years, I made it my mission in life to improve the orderly room and the barracks of the soldiers and all that they stayed in. The third floor of our building, the orderly room, we did, you know what I'm talking about. We worked so hard at improving better furniture, cleaner conditions, fresh paint, better bulletin boards, anything that we could think of to improve the appearance of our barracks to make it better. Come on, guys, you know what I'm talking about. For 2 years. I mean, it was literally I ate, slept, and drank being a first sergeant for 24 months. You can relate? Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about, whatever position you were in. Okay? Today, it's all gone, Chuck. The building is demolished. I couldn't even take you to the exact spot anymore. I couldn't even take you to it. I need to remind myself, Tim, Brother Clark, that everything that I'm pouring my heart and soul into, whether it's the landscaping in the front of my house, whether it's the porch that I'm going to get enclosed, whether it's the truck that I'm washing, whether it's the 401k plan that I'm making cash deposits into, it's all going away. Right. I like none of it. Every bit of it. I need a dose of the reality of eternity to get my heart right. Let me tell you what I can take to heaven. It's my relationship with Brother Brian, who's born again. And you can't see that relationship. You can see the evidence of it, but the relationship itself is not seen. But if he's a brother in Christ, it's eternal. It's eternal. Are you getting it? Are y'all getting it? We are so tempted. And I know, I'm there with you. I did it, guys. I did it. I went to Ranger school to get a piece of cloth. I'm not exaggerating. I went there because I wanted a tab on my shoulder. I took my uniform to the cleaners, had it sewed on and put it in there and pressed it and put it in the closet before I left school. I told my wife, I'm not coming back until I can put it on. Are you bragging right now? No, I'm trying to tell you that I understand what it is to be focused on the things that can be seen. And what I needed sometimes was a preacher to preach to me about the things that I could not see as being more important. I needed a dose of reality of eternity. Do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. No wonder why Paul is calling it a light and momentary affliction. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promises, as some men count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Have you ever thought about the fact that the only reason God has kept you alive is so you'd repent? Have you ever thought about the fact that the reason you've got another day is so that you would repent? Have you ever thought about the fact that you keep kicking the can down the road as though you're always going to have another day to repent, and someday God's going to call you on the carpet? I'm going to repent next week. Right now, I'm focused on getting promoted at work. I'm focused on getting laid last night. Yeah, I said it. I said it. Because we'll let sex keep us from getting saved every day of the week. You mean I got to give up that? I'm not ready to give up that. I know that you expect us to be holy. I know you expect us to be transformed. I know that there's expectations tied to Christ. And I'm not ready to give up my foul mouth. I'm not ready to give up my this, that, or another thing. And you act as though you get to control the day of your departure. Let me just remind you, you didn't control the day you came into this world. Not one of you picked your birthday. Nobody did. And you will not pick the day when you depart. God knows that day. You don't. You keep kicking that salvation can down the street. God keeps on extending to you mercy and grace, and you keep kicking at Him in the face. His desire is that you would come to repentance. The day of the Lord will come as a thief. Did you just hear what I said? As a thief. God's not going to text message you an advance warning. You're not getting a heads up. You got 7 days to repent, and I'm going to call you home. That ain't happening, no matter what movie you watched. The day of the Lord will come as a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar. The heavenly bodies will be burnt up and dissolved. The earth and the works that are done will be exposed. And since all these things will be dissolved, what sort or what manner of men are we to be? In other words, I need to realize that everything that I'm working towards, lawnmowers, bigger church, paying off the debt, more souls, all that stuff, I need to run it through the lens of the reality of eternity. You get it or not? It's a run through this lens. And if it fits this lens, then I can put a death grip on it. If it doesn't fit this lens, then I need to let go of it a little bit. I'm not saying that we fall apart in that. I'm not saying that we lose our stewardship. Don't misread anything I'm saying. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we rank order it. We put it in priority. Since all these things are to be dissolved, what sort of people, what manner of men ought you to be in the lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming day of God because of that which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to His promise, we are waiting for, we are longing for, we are anxiously groaning for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So, he says, I'm back in chapter 5, I'm back in 2 Corinthians, he who's prepared us this very thing is God. And this God has given us his Spirit as a guarantee. So now I want to ask you, do you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? Young men, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, do you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit dwelling in you? Have you ever had the Holy Spirit speak to you? Has the Holy Spirit convicted you of sin? Has the Holy Spirit illuminated the Word of God? Have you felt the presence of the Holy Spirit, Zach? Mason, do you know what it is to hear the Spirit speaking to you? That still, small voice? Because that's the guarantee. Did you see it? That's the guarantee. I can't look in Bill's heart and see the Holy Spirit, and Bill, you can't look in my heart. That's why Peter told me to make my own election and calling sure. That's what Peter said. You got to ask yourself, does the Holy Spirit reside in me? I can't answer that for you. I can't believe that I used to give assurance of salvation any other way. I can't believe that there was a day when I said to people, well, were you sincere when you asked Jesus in your heart? I'm embarrassed to tell you that. And I did it over and over and over again. And I don't think I'm alone. And I needed to be taught in that day, no, you don't say that. You say, do you have a walk with the Holy Spirit? Right. Have you ever heard from the Holy Spirit? Have you felt the Spirit? Did you see what happened to Matt? The Spirit came on Matt when he was leading us in worship. And Matt got all emotional. I was a big crybaby. To the glory of God! Crybaby to Jesus! Take it every day. I never felt that. I don't know what you're talking about, preacher. Seems like you're a little overreacting. You better go back to your tent, your bunk, wherever you're at, and fall down on your knees and ask yourself, how come I ain't felt the Spirit? Why don't I know what the Spirit is like? Sounds like you Pentecostals. Glory to God for Pentecost. Glory to God for the falling of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God for it. So, in contrast to not losing heart in verse number 6, we are always of good courage. Look what Paul has done here. Let me just remind you. He compared the outer to the inner. He compared the light to the heavy. He compared the momentary to the eternal. He compared the seen to the unseen. He compared the transient to the eternal. He compared the earthly to the heavenly. He compared clothes to more clothes. He compared mortal to life. And now he's comparing and contrasting losing heart and having good courage. What are you talking about? Look at verse number 16 in chapter 4 and compare it to verse number 6 in chapter 5. The first sentence in verse number 16, it says, we do not lose heart. Instead, verse number 6 is, we are always of good courage. You see it? We are always of good courage. Why are we always of good courage? Because we know that the affliction we are experiencing is light and momentary. That God has prepared for us an eternal weight of glory. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we know that we're on this earth. We know that we have our earthly responsibilities. I am a pastor. I am a small business owner. I am a father. I am a grandfather. I am a mentor. I got all that, and I need to stay here and do it. But there are days that I long to be gone. that I'm going to be of good courage, that I'm going to stay here, absent from the Lord, here. So I'm going to make it my aim, underline it in your Bible, I'm going to make it my aim in everything I do to please God. Do you see it? I'm going to make it my aim. Could I encourage you to make that your aim? Is there any men in here who would say, Pastor Sean, I'm going to leave the conference with an aim at pleasing God? I need a takeaway. I need something pragmatic. I'm going to give it to you. Put your reality of eternity glasses on and live with the expectation that you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And so you're going to make it your primary objective in life to live in such a way that I am pleasing God. So all day long, everything I do, I need to ask myself over and over and over, Aaron, is this pleasing to God? If the answer is yes, then I need to proceed forward. If the answer is no, I need to repent. Can I make it any simpler? Is this pleasing to God? And it could very well be. I'm going to take a nap. I'm tired. And I need to get refreshed so I don't lose my temper with my kids. All right, this is pleasing to God. I need a nap. I'm going to get some sleep. Right. I need a reprieve. I'm going to watch a good movie for the next 45 minutes and just veg out. Could that be pleasing to God? Yes, it could be. 12 hours of Netflix? See? See where we're going on this? Right. I'm going to stay in the gym for 30 more minutes, but, you know, I just can't find any time for my devotions. But, man, I got the run in. I got the benching in. Man, there's just so little time. I mean, you don't know how busy my life is. Is this pleasing to God? Is this pleasing to God? And I know. Look, I know. One of the things that you and I are often guilty of thinking is like things like this. If I had your wife, I could be a better husband. If I had your this, I could be. If I had your job, I could be. I would be in the Word of God if I had your job. Come on. We're always comparing, brother. We're always comparing. Do it on a regular basis. It's the nature of who we are. We need to back that train up and say, is this pleasing to God? Say, Pastor Sean, what if it's not in the Word of God? Like a gray area. That's why He gave you the Holy Spirit, Brian. That's why He gave you the Holy Spirit. Because, Jim, the Holy Spirit will bear witness with your spirit whether it's pleasing to God or not. And so when your spirit doesn't bear witness with the Holy Spirit, then what do? We repent. We repent. Get them lined up. We ask. Now, why are we doing all this? Because of verse 10, and we're done. We're doing it all because there's some day where we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body. And I know you can't believe it says this because it doesn't fit with our tidy little eschatology. You know, our little eschatology, which means at the judgment seat of Christ, all we get is high fives and pats on the back. You know, because there's multiple judgments and the bad one is for all those people and then there's a separate good one for us. Nobody told Paul about that. That's the problem. He didn't get the memo. Because what he says is good and bad. So here's the dichotomy. See what you think, David. And if you think I need to be clarified, I'm okay with you clarifying me. It seems to me there's a dichotomy between there's now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And Jesus said, I've got to give an account for every word spoken. see where I went? Yes, your sins are forgiven. Yes, there's no condemnation to you. Yes, you're eternally secure in Christ Jesus. But that doesn't mean that you get a bye on wasting your entire life. You don't get a bye. I know, Pastor, but I'm saved. Okay, I hope you are. I hope you are. And that guarantees you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of God. But you will still give an account for what you did with your life. I told my seniors that the number one thing that they need to steward every single day is not money, it's time. It's time. It's time. Every one of us need to be asking ourselves all day long, is this the most important thing for me to be doing right now? If the answer is yes, then do it to the glory of God. If the answer is no, figure out what you need to be doing. Figure out what you need to be doing. Because here's the reality. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for what we've done, whether it be good or bad. I love both your boys there. One side and the other side. Glory to God. Here's what I need to tell both of you. Both of you, Zach and Mason, Dad is not going to be standing next to you at the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to stand on your own two feet, and you're going to give an account for what you've done with what God has given you. So we need to make it our aim to please God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, would you grant to those that are longing for faith, more faith? And would you, sitting on your seat right now, you that are struggling, would you pray right now something like, God, give me more faith? I'm not leading you in a prayer to get saved, but I know that you can't get saved without faith. And if you're like, I don't want to be in hell forever, then ask God to give you the faith that it takes to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God sent His Son to die for your sins, that He was buried and rose again on the third day, and He sits on the right hand of the Father, making intercession as the mediator between God and man for all who believe. And then if you're like me, would you identify with me for just a moment so we can pray together? The Pastor Sean, there are days when I lose heart and I need some renewal. Anybody? Anybody? Lots of hands going up. And so I thank God that Steve and David and tomorrow Bill's going to renew me. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're going to use your word to renew my heart. And I pray, oh God, that you would use the relationships that are being formed under this tent and at this camp to renew us day by day. I pray that we would become the body of Christ at Sandy Ridge, that David would lead his church, that Steve would lead his church to create a community of believers that can be transparent one with another. That can say, I'm losing heart right now, and I need you, Brian, to pray for me and kind of encourage me. I need to be renewed. Are you the kind of brother that I could come to and say, I'm just losing a little heart right now, and it needs, would you speak into my life? If Asaph came to you and he said, I'm struggling with the arrogant, they keep prospering, they're fat and sleek, would you be able to speak truth into his life? Could I count on you and Berean Baptist Church to speak truth into a brother's life? Elders, would you pledge with me that we're going to be those kind of spiritual leaders? Elders, would you pledge with me? Amen. Any other elders under the tent? We're going to be those kind of men. Father God in heaven, we want to be that to Berean Baptist Church. And I know the other three men well enough to know that that Bill wants that at Sandy Ridge. Be pleased, oh God, with the focus that we're having on the reality of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.